Hi, I'm Sharon Lipinski. Welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from those who are running Giving Circles so that we can learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today, I'm speaking with Jessica Behrman, a founding member of Moscow Women's Giving Circle. Welcome, Jessica. Thanks so much for participating today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you start by giving us an overview of your Giving Circle?
Sure. Well, the Moscow Women's Giving Circle, which we also call Moscow Women Giving Together, got started, in 2007. We started making grants in 2008. Let's see, we're moving into our fifth year of grant making now. It is a giving circle where of women, where each woman gives $365 or more a year, so a dollar a day at least, and it draws from across the community of Moscow, Idaho, which is a university community in the northern part of Idaho. So let's see, what else should I tell you? Our funding is sort of across a number of issue areas, and we're particularly interested in just making Latah County and our city of Moscow, you know, a vibrant and wonderful place to live.
Okay. So you started this giving circle, you said 2007, 2008, and you're now into your fifth year. How has it changed over time?
And that's a really good question. It has grown over time. I mean, that's one sort of obvious way. When we started, I started with, I recruited five friends from sort of different parts of the community, and they all agreed to help me start the Giving Circle. And I can remember really distinctly, you know, in our early conversations, thinking to ourselves that if we had 30 women and could give away, or, you know, 20 or 30 women and could give away $10,000, we would just be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the first year, we were able to give $18,000 to the community. And this is a small community, so that, you know, made a big impact right away. So each year it has grown, although the growth certainly, you know, sort of took off at first and then has leveled out, but, you know, gradually growing. It's become more diverse in terms of the types of women who are interested, and I've certainly seen that women, some people have been stalwarts, they've participated throughout, others have come in and then come out and then sometimes come back in, just depending on how that year was going for them. But I can see people sort of reaching out into their own networks and recruiting folks to join. And so, you know, as a whole, it's a sort of more representative of the community than it used to be. So that's one way. Another way is that we have experimented with different sort of ways of focusing our priorities. So the first year, we had a priority focus. We focused, I think, on women, young people, and the environment. And then we had a couple of years, our second and third years, where the economy was just so prevalent in everyone's mind that we focused more generally on projects that really would be meaningful in this down economy and would build community. So that, you know, opened us up to really just about anything, as long as it could make that case. And then this last year, people really wanted to have a focus again, so we honed in on arts, education, and our community's elderly. And so as we've experimented with those different ways of giving, we've just noticed that, you know, when you have a specific focus, we tend to get proposals from groups that might not have applied to a more general RFP. So that's another thing that we've been experimenting with. And as we've been to our fifth year, I think we're really planning to launch a fairly big recruiting campaign and also a real effort to do something new and special in honor of our fifth year. In our fifth year, we'll cross the $100,000 mark in terms of money that we've given to the community, and we just really want to make a big, you know, big fuss over that.
Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of questions for you about how your focus has changed over time. Are these questions that are coming, like, organically out of the group? Do you discuss it in meetings? How do you guys decide what you want to focus on?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, one of the things that I know all giving circles struggle with, and we certainly do, is maintaining the balance between keeping people engaged, by having regular meetings and communication, but also being sort of a realistic activity for really busy women. The people who have joined the Moscow Women's Giving Circle, you know, like women who join other giving circles, are some of the busiest people in town. Mm-hmm. And so the way that we've sort of managed that, and I think we're still learning, is by having only four big meetings a year, and we may even go down to three. But at the kickoff meeting in late summer, early fall, we recruit, we get people excited about the circle, and we talk about what our funding priorities should be for the year. And we've done that in a couple of different ways. We've done group activities, you know, facilitated activities to share, things like open space conversations or World Cafe type, you know, facilitated conversations. We've had panels of people come in and talk to us about community issues. We have sent out Survey Monkey survey to find out what people were most interested in. But we always have that conversation at the first meeting. And then the Grants Committee, which is a voluntary group, you know, anybody can elect to be part of it, gets together and figures out from that input what it is that we're going to do for the year. So what we've realized, and I don't think I said this, but the circle has grown to having, you know, between 50 and 60 donating members in any given year, and, you know, 20 or 30 other women who like to be kept in the loop, sometimes attend meetings, you know, and are sort of otherwise engaged. So it's gotten to be a pretty big group, and what we've done is that the grants committee ends up taking responsibility for taking that feedback and picking the priorities for the year, and communicating that back to the group. And so far that's worked pretty well, because anybody who's interested in really having a heavier hand in what our priorities should be, you know, tends to be the sort of person who will join that committee.
Mm-hmm. So the grants committee is meeting more often.
Right, that's right. So I didn't finish talking about the four meetings. So that's the first meeting. We then have a meeting in late November or early December where we actually launch our request for proposals, which is really super simple. And also we hear from the grantees from the previous year. So that's always a really just super meaningful, interesting meeting where we get to hear from people what kind of work they're doing from the funds that they've been given from the Giving Circle. At the third meeting, we actually hear from, that's our grants decision meeting, and we hear from the finalists. And I'll go back and talk about the grant-making process a little bit more.
But okay.
So the third meeting, we get together, we hear from the finalists, and afterwards we vote on who will receive the money. And then the fourth meeting of the year has traditionally been just a celebratory summertime meeting where everybody's invited, and we have a big potluck, and we just celebrate our, you know, grantee partners, past and present.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the grants committee, as you said, they meet a lot more. They get together after, after the first meeting to think about what the priorities will be, to tweak and revise the request for proposals. They bring that to the group at that second meeting. They then accept all of the proposals and do the first sort of initial cut. So what we ask for is just a two-page sort of concept paper. Tell us what you want to do. We have some more specific questions, but we really want to keep it simple because we're not giving away that much money, and I think that's really important. When our grants are only, you know, $3,000 to $5,000, we can't ask for a lot in the way of application. So the grants committee gets together and takes that down from, you know, 35 proposals, 30 to 35, which is what we've generally received, down to 10 to 12 finalists. We do that according to a set of criteria that we've developed that we publicize, but it's still a really hard, hard job because every group that applies is really worthy mm-hmm. and doing important work. So we do that based on our criteria, and then those are the finalists that actually come and speak to the group, and we ask them to do about a 5 to 7 minute quick talk about what it is that their organization does, what it is that their program or project does, and how they would, you know, how they would use the funds. And the grants committee is also responsible for working with those finalists to make sure that they are coming to that, you know, to that finalist meeting prepared to sort of do the best job that they possibly can. So we do some coaching and just some conversations. And then finally, one more thing. After the full group meets, after the full group votes on the finalists, it's the grants committee that takes those votes, and we've done this in a couple of different ways, but we take those votes and have to sometimes make some determinations then based on the votes, based on the will of the group, how the money is going to be distributed.
So how many organizations are you choosing in a grant cycle?
That has really depended. You know, because I work in the field of philanthropy and have spent a lot of time studying giving circles, I had certain ideas about how I thought it should be, but the group hasn't always, you know, shared those ideas. So, which I think is great. You know, it's not my circle; it's everybody's. Mm-hmm. So, my ideas were that we would say no to a lot of people, and that we would fund in large amounts to just a couple of groups. In fact, we've done a little bit of that, but the group has been, I think, less comfortable saying no to finalists, and so there have been, there was one year where the people who got the most votes got full funding, then there was a category, there was a group of folks who got, I think, about 80 or maybe 75% of their request, and then there were three or four groups, those that had gotten the fewest votes, that got sort of a thank you for applying grant. You know, they got a small grant of, I think, $1,000 each. Mm-hmm. So we've done it that way. This last year, the group was more committed to just funding in full, and funding in full the groups that had gotten the most of the votes. So there were a number of groups that didn't get funded at all. And, you know, I think that the challenge is that, you know, once the people have made it to the finalist round, we feel like they've put in a fair amount of work. And so we want to honor that work that they've put in. You know, at the same time, we want to honor the will of the group and fund in full the organizations that people really, you know, are committed to funding.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting process. I like that you're sharing it, but at the same time, I can sense that, you know, the desire to also fund more of one thing and less. But yeah, that's an interesting way that you've structured that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that, you know, there's something to be said on both sides, I think. You know, it's nice, even if you're not funded in full, to get something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the other hand, I think that it's important exercise in some ways to be able to say yes to some things and no to others, and to really be able to assess, you know, given our priorities, who is going to have the greatest impact this year, or who did the best job sort of making their case to the circle. And I think, you know, we don't want to give everybody a little bit, because then none of the groups can really do what they have set out to do. So we've been balancing all of those things, and it has been really challenging, but it's also been just a wonderful conversation for people to have, because I think when individuals are checkbook donors, you know, as most of us are, and you give $50 here and $100 there, you're just not going through the same sort of rigorous process of thinking, what are my priorities? You know, who's really meeting my priorities? How well have they demonstrated that they're going to make good use of these funds and have an impact? And I think part of what a giving circle can offer is a safe and structured way to have those kinds of conversations. You know, what do we really care about? What matters more to us? You know, saying yes to everyone, or being able to fund some groups in full. And I do think those are really worthwhile conversations.
And what I like that I'm hearing from you is that you're very flexible with it, that you'll do something one year and then you talk about it and you take the, you know, people's experience and insight into the next year, and you adapt as to, you know, what people like and feel good about and what's working.
Yep. That is totally true. And I think that is something that, you know, I hope that most giving circles do. You know, I have said before that giving circles are sort of the Home Depot of philanthropy. I mean, that you really can do it your own way. I think that's what draws people to them. And you'd hate to sort of create then, you know, a rigid structure that you were trapped in. One of the things were just a couple of examples of how people in the giving circle have really influenced the direction. Early on, it became clear that there were, for a number of people, it was really, really important to be doing a certain amount of direct funding to sort of people in crisis. And that's not something that we could do very easily through our fiscal sponsor, which is the Latah County Community Foundation because they can't fund individuals. And so every year we have put a certain, we have given a certain amount of money to St. Vincent de Paul, which is a, it's actually a lay organization of the Catholic Church, but they don't fund religiously. They fund individuals in crisis situations. And they have applied each year. So we've never said, you know, oh, absolutely, a certain amount of our funding is going to go to you. But we have, it just has happened that every year they've been able to make a really good case for our money, you know, really serving direct needs through them. And so they've gotten a grant every year. And we've been talking recently about, you know, how if this is something that's really important to us to do, do we really want to make them jump through these hoops every year? Or is that something we would just want to set aside a certain amount of our money mm-hmm. To go to that sort of crisis relief? Mm-hmm. So that's an example of how a conversation is evolving, mm-hmm. You know, based on the real interests and desires of the of Circle members. Another big conversation we're having right now is around project versus general operating support. And I don't think a lot of Giving Circles, I don't know. In my experience, a lot of Giving Circles don't give this a lot of thought, but I think they might be increasingly thinking about it, which is, you know, organizations, especially when they're strapped for funds in these hard times, it's great to have a project funded, but sometimes you just really need to keep the lights on. And you just need to keep doing the work that you do. And so we've been talking a lot about, you know, is our circle willing to just start giving a certain amount of our pot of money to general operating for organizations that we care about. So the organizations would still apply, but they wouldn't have to invent or create a project, or they wouldn't have to find a project for us to fund. They could just ask us to fund them and the good work and their good track record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, you know, that's not necessarily as exciting for donors because there's no playground to point to or
right.
new roof.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, we're seeing it as a real community need. So we're talking about that as well.
That's interesting. Tell me a little bit about the membership push that you're planning on going into. What is that going to look like for you? What activities are you going to engage in?
Oh, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about that quite enough. You know, we've gotten some folks on board recently who are really tied into, a lot of the women throughout the Circle's history have been really tied into other volunteer organizations, other things like the League of Women Voters or the Women's Center on campus, and I don't think that we have fully utilized those networks to really make an all-out, you know, join the Giving Circle push. So that's one thing I know we're going to do is really work through the networks of our existing members and really encourage people, give them easy language to use, you know, via email or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever they use, so that they can start recruiting their friends. And other colleagues. I think we'll probably try, you know, almost certainly try to get more local media coverage. We've always been able to get both members and grant seekers by collaborating with the local papers. I think we may need to give a little bit of thought as to whether we want to recruit people to give at a lower level. The $365 a year is, you know, it's not hard for some people, and it's a real stretch for others. And there might be more people who would really be interested in giving at $100 a year, for example. And we have maintained our $55 a year threshold for voting, just mainly because we really want it to feel like a significant gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we move into this fifth year, we might think about whether we want to have a special category of supporting members that that are able to give less. And think about, you know, how we might do that. And beyond that, I think we've got some thinking to do. So we have some members of our grants committee, which has become essentially the steering committee for the group, who are interested in member recruitment. And I think we'll have them, you know, give this a little more thought going forward. And I'll be interested to hear what other Giving Circles have done and how they've tackled this. You know, this question. Because the only way we can really grow as a circle, we've decided, is by recruiting more members. We're not seeking corporate sponsorships. We're not, at this point, holding any sort of a fundraiser, although we've talked about a sort of power of the purse, you know, fundraiser like some Giving Circles hold. But at this point, we're really focused on just growing our membership and sort of spreading this ethos of, you know, giving back even further throughout the community.
So why have you chosen not to pursue corporate sponsorship? It sounds like it's something that you've thought about and you've chosen not to do it. What are your thoughts about it?
You know, we have not given it as much thought as we could, and so it might be something that we could revisit. But I think the primary reasons we decided not to really pursue that path were just that this is a pretty small community of Moscow, Idaho, and the businesses in it are tapped, you know, so regularly. They're probably tapped weekly by one nonprofit or another, you know, asking them for a gift to a silent auction or, you know, a small grant or a donation of some sort. And so one thing we felt was that, you know, we would like not to compete and not be perceived as competing with the nonprofits in the community, but be seen as, you know, a group that is kind of lifting all boats by just rising, you know, raising the level and giveness, oh my gosh, raising the level of awareness and giving beyond what people are already doing. So that's one reason we decided not to go that route.
Interesting.
And there were any other, the other probably, you know, to be totally honest, it had to do with that busyness factor, that, you know, building sort of relationships with businesses and seeking donations takes a level of sort of networking and coordination that, you know, we just at the time felt like, okay, let's just launch this thing. But if at any point someone in the giving circle had the energy to really pursue that, I think we would, you know, we would encourage them to do so really wholeheartedly.
You know, after, you know, 5 years and 50 to 60 members a year, you have some experience with maintaining a healthy giving circle. What would you tell people about how to keep a giving circle healthy and vibrant?
That's a great question, and it's funny because even, you know, I studied giving circles for almost 5 years before I started my own, and I think this is a challenge that all giving circles face. And so from my own experience and from other circles I've talked to, I think some of the keys are, you know, be judicious in what you require. So that's one thing. You know, people cannot feel like it's an overwhelming commitment. Be judicious in what you require and make the events that you do hold really worth people's time. So we work pretty hard on making sure we have really, you know, solid agendas, good food, you know, interesting content, and just a lot of fun, that we start on time, that we end on time, you know, that kind of thing, because that's important for these busy people. So that's one thing. I think, you know, we're still tweaking with the balance of how much communication keeps people engaged versus overwhelms them. I think a certain amount of communication is important just for reminding people that this is happening and that this is, you know, important to them, because even the most committed birds, they just get caught up in, you know, the other work they're doing, and they, it's easy to kind of forget, like, oh yeah, the giving circle, right? I really like that thing. So I think, you know, keeping it in front of folks, I think asking people to get involved very directly and very personally is really important. I've definitely found that the people who joined the grant committee, although they work harder, are the most committed people. And I guess there's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing there, but I think there's something about really being involved more deeply in the work that makes you more committed and makes you want to do it more. And I've definitely found that personal outreach and communication, whether by phone or email, is just really essential for making people feel like they're an important part of the group and that they want to keep doing it. The only other thing I'll say is that I think something giving circles really struggle with is the sustainability of their leadership. Because I know that, or I suspect that if I and the couple other people who've really taken the helm around coordinating things, if we were willing to do it forever at the same level of energy, I think people would be pretty happy to, you know, stay involved. But it's easy to burn out after a couple years, you know, managing a big volunteer effort like this. And so we're, I think, continuing to just wrestle with the question of how do you bring new people into leadership roles? How do you make sure that the founding members don't burn out and that new people have a chance to assume leadership? And how do you sort of get away from that, you know, phenomena where which I think we're in a little bit, where, you know, the founding people or the people who've been most involved, everyone just kind of counts on you to do it, and they kind of sit back and relax because you've done a good job in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for me, since I do this kind of work for a living, I work with, you know, in philanthropy, as I said, I think that unless I just completely refuse to answer questions, people are going to be turning to me. And so I just think about how I can, you know, play the proper role and not dominate and not prevent other people from assuming leadership, because I think that they can do, you know, just as well or better. And so, but I, you know, because I'm here, I think it's easy for people to think like, oh, well, Jessica will take care of that, or she can answer that question.
And how do you keep from burning out?
Oh, I don't know. I'm working on that. You know, I mean, the sort of obvious, the sort of pat answer, I guess, but really very true at the same time, is that I do start to burn out between meetings sometimes. But when I'm actually doing the work, it's so exciting that I get re-energized. And I think having a couple of really trusted friends or sort of colleagues in the work who are also carrying that water helps me a lot. So just knowing that I'm not the only one, but that there are, you know, that there's this grants committee, they're really committed, and then within that there are usually two or three people who really step up and do above and beyond. I think I could be better at, you know, asking other people to do things. I think people would be happy to, and I think I forget sometimes that I can ask.
Well, Jessica, we have just a couple minutes left, and there's one question that I want to ask you about. What do you find the most rewarding part about being part of a giving circle? I know you do philanthropy for a living, but what is it about the giving circle that you keep doing it for 5 years?
Yeah, in particular. So I think giving circles are a really special way to give. I found it to be so much more satisfying than giving by myself. First of all, I can give a lot more through the giving circle, but I think even more than that, having these conversations about the issues in our community and the really amazing work that the nonprofit organizations are doing to meet community needs is just, it's interesting, it's rewarding, and it's really satisfying to know that we can learn about these things and then we can actually give enough money to make a difference. So I think that's probably, you know, when it comes down to it, the best part for me. I've always felt that philanthropy or giving, it's great to receive money when you work for a nonprofit, and I definitely loved that when I worked for a nonprofit. But it's really rewarding to give money. And I think, you know, giving circles help you to kind of take advantage of how much fun it is to give. And, you know, to be an everyday giver, but who can give, who can be part of giving a pretty big grant.
Is there anything that I should have asked you, Jessica, that I didn't ask you and you'd like to share with us now?
That's the best question. I always ask that question. this has been it's been great to have a chance to talk about it and to articulate some of these things. I think it's great that you're compiling the information, and I think the only other thing I would say is that, you know, anyone who's interested in starting a giving circle should just go ahead and do so, because it can be five people sitting around the kitchen table. Or it can be, you know, 500 people as part of the Washington Women's Foundation or some of the larger groups in the country. So it does not need to be complicated, and it can you know, it can be as simple as you want it to be, but it's always going to be rewarding.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your thoughts with us. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thanks for asking me to join you.
Thank you.